Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
Hi, today we are kicking off a brand new series, and we're calling it Family Matters. Honest to goodness, I didn't know this. Somebody asked me last week after we announced it, they said, is Urkel going to show up? I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, I knew who Urkel was. I did not know that the name of the series was Family Matters. So here's all I'm going to say to you. Don't miss any Sundays the next 4 weeks. Because Urkel may just show up. I don't know. Amen. All right. At Life Church, of course, we do believe that healthy families are critical, right, to our survival. So we really want to minister to you these next few weeks on the subjects of family and parenting and marriage. I think it's so critically important. And I want to say this, too, right at the very beginning. No matter what your family looks like, right, if you are married or divorced, if you're married with kids, if you're a single parent, or if you're just single, if you're a grandparent, it does not matter. I want to say this. You are part of some type of a family unit, right? And we want you to succeed. And because family matters, I think how you build your family matters. So, and that's what we want to talk about these next few weeks. So I want to start off, let's go back to Matthew chapter 7, where we find Jesus telling a story, a parable of how to build and how not to build. So join me if you will, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. I want to talk to you about building blocks today. Building blocks. Amen? Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching. You can read the chapter. There's a lot of good stuff in chapter 7. And he gets to verse 24 and he makes a comparison about two builders and how they built their homes. He said that one man built his house on the rock and another man built his house on the sand. Now, what's important is to realize that what determined if that house stood or not against the storm that came was what the house was built on. What the foundation or the building blocks were. Building blocks matter in construction, right? Foundations matter in construction. They also matter in how you build a family. What you build on and what you use to build makes a difference. Can the church say amen to that? And what Jesus said really does still stand true today. What will determine whether or not you build a strong family or not is what you build your family on and what you build your family with. Amen? Jesus compares two homes built by two builders. Two homes, one built on a rock, one built on sand. He compares two builders. He says one is wise, one is foolish. And why the building blocks matter is because both of these homes faced the same circumstances, but they had totally different results when the storms were over. Same violent storms, same rains, same floodwaters, yet very different results. Now, you know, one stood firm, one house collapsed, and you know what? We see this in real life, don't we? Not just in construction. Why does this happen sometimes in marriages? One marriage stands, one fails. Why does it happen in parent-child relationships? Why do some business startups fold quickly and still others start and they survive. Why is it that two families, or even two individuals for that matter, can go through what appears to be almost identical circumstances, and yet they get substantially different results? Have you ever wondered that? Some people fall apart as soon as the wind blows, and other people, they just seem to get a little bit stronger and stand a little straighter when the wind blows. Some people lean into the resistance, and then other people get knocked over by the resistance. To be clear, I want to say this right up front. There's a lot of factors that play into this, so I don't want to be guilty of oversimplification in this sermon. Your family of origin matters. Your personality type matters. Your life experiences matter. Your attitude, your temperament matters. I would also like to add, your personal walk with God makes a big difference too in how you handle the storms of life, right? But I also want to say that your past isn't the only thing that creates your present. Come on. Your past, too many people are focusing so much on their past that they think they are stuck there. Come on. And that they are predestined to turn out a certain way. I'm going to tell you right now, that is a lie if you believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ really does change lives. That's a lie if you believe that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's a lie if you believe that Jesus can make you brand new. He can. You do not have to be defined by how you were raised or the abuse that you had or the stuff that you encountered in your life. Amen. So I want you to embrace this truth. Not only does my past shape me, but what I am doing in my present also creates what I am living in my present. Amen. Embrace the now. Everybody say now.
Now,
now matters. Today matters, right? And a big part of what the house that you are living in and creating right now is what those building blocks are. What you build on and what you build with. The difference is not just the foundation. And I know some of you, you might have to have had some major foundation repairs in your life, right? And that's okay. We understand that. Many people do. But also the construction materials that you're putting into your family right now. Not just the past. And this is just as true in a marriage and in a family as it is in building a house. We need to build in a way that we are stormproofing our families. We need to build in a way that we can build strong families that will last, because, folks, there are so many external forces that are trying to tear up your house and your home today. Jesus, in Matthew 7, he mentions rain and winds and floods that broke up a house. He also mentions that it mattered on what it was built on. I will tell you, there are cultural rains, there are demonic winds, there are social pressure floods that will try to destroy your house if you let it sneak in and destroy your house. Be alert, be awake to all the forces and the influences that can break up our families from the outside. And by the way, I want to take a little pressure off of you right now in this very first message of the series. Are you ready? Here it is. You are not trying to build a perfect family or a perfect marriage, because they do not exist. Woo, hallelujah, right? Come on. They don't exist. And the people who pretend to be perfect, or they're projecting this false narrative to people around them, they are usually the ones that are in the worst shape of them all. Amen. Perfect families don't exist. Perfect kids don't exist. Perfect marriages don't exist. Perfect churches don't exist. Amen. Everybody dreams and hopes to have a great family, but that perfect marriage, that perfect scenario, it does not exist. So I want you to take heart. Your family does not have to be perfect to be a strong family. Come on. Your marriage does not have to be flawless in order to have a good, solid marriage. Your kids don't have to make straight A's in order to be smart. Your church does not have to meet all of your needs to still be a great church and be the right place for you. Amen. We live in a broken world, and broken human beings are what we are. You do not have to be perfect to enjoy this life and to make a difference. So take a deep breath. Literally, take a deep breath right now. The bar is not perfection. The bar is growth. The bar is not, we got to have it all together. The bar is, let's try to get it together. Right? Amen. But in order to do that, there's this dirty little four-letter word that comes into play. You got to work at it. Amen. You got to work to build a strong family. And guess what? No, it will not happen by accident. You are not, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're not going to lazy your way into a good marriage. You are not going to lazy your way into having good kids. It's not going to happen, amen? Today, more than ever before, you got to make a concentrated effort at building a strong home. I'm so glad we don't have to work for our salvation. But I'm going to tell you, you do have to work to have a good marriage. You do have to work to have good kids. Amen. Amen. Whether you're a single parent or married, a single adult, a teenager, a married grandparent, here's what I want to tell you right now. Make whatever you have be as strong as it can be. That's the goal of this sermon series. Make whatever you have right now be as strong as it can be. Now, why do we have to make sure that we're using the right building blocks? Because, folks, there's never been a greater attack on traditional families like the one we are experiencing here today. Amen? Now, I do thank God that I'm starting to see a little bit more common sense stuff in our culture right now on some of these issues. But I'm not going to stand up here today and apologize for saying that God's best for the family is still the traditional family as we know it. Amen. Now, I'm not throwing shade on anybody who doesn't have that, but I think it's my responsibility as a pastor to still tell you, God's original plan is still the best plan. One man and one woman raising their children in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Come on. I need a little help in the house today. There are still some absolutes that we must come to term with, and we got to quit trying to change or justify God's original best. Because if Satan can destroy the home, if he can destroy our marriages and our parent-child relationships, he can destroy the church, and he will ultimately destroy society as a whole, and he will not settle for less. He won't. He will take advantage of a vulnerable spouse who is frustrated with pain and bitterness and anger. He will destroy our confused teenagers who are being bombarded with feelings of rejection and gender confusion and personal inadequacies. Amen. He will taunt the heart of a child that does not know why they've lost their mom or their dad or why one of their parents walked out on them. That's how he works. That's how he operates. And if he can destroy the home, he wins. I'm going to read this passage again this week. I mean today, John 10 and 10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. So here's my question. It's not a trick question. Who wants to have a rich and satisfying family life? Amen. You say, Pastor, that ship's already sailed. No, it hasn't. It's sailed if all you're doing is living in the past. But if we got to live in the now. We got to take what I have right now and make it the best that I can make it right now. Amen. One thing I know is that when push comes to shove, when rubber meets the road, when it's all said and done, folks, hear me, your family really is all you have in this world. I'm just keeping it real. I love church. I love church people. And sometimes church family is closer than your real family. Can somebody say amen to that? But at the end of the day, your family is all that really matters in this world. I've never been at anybody's deathbed and they said, I wish I would have spent more time at work. Amen. Never been in a deathbed where somebody says, man, I wish I would have just spent more days in the office, taken less vacations, spent less time with my wife and kids. No, we're going to talk about building a family that matters. So let me just share a few building blocks with you today. I kind of laid the foundation here. I could take the next month and give you building blocks alone because there's so many. But today I'm just going to share four with you. Are you ready? Here's the first building block. Support each other. Support each other. Now, I know that might sound very basic or a big broad umbrella, but you need to have each other's backs in your family. Amen? When I was growing up, my sister and I and my brothers and I, we used to fight like cats and dogs. I'm telling you, we were not the model example of siblings getting along with each other. I look back and I'm embarrassed at how mean we were to each other. But let me tell you something. It's okay for me and my sister to fight. It's okay for me and my brothers to fight. But you better not put a hand. I'm going to tell you right now, this is not a joke. The most fights I ever got in, I got in a lot of fights in school. The most fights I ever got in were not my issues. It was me defending my sister. Because as family members, you got to have each other's backs, right? Strong families have a high degree of commitment to each other. We look out for each other. You're committed to promoting each other's happiness and welfare. You know what love looks like in a family? Look at 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. I'm going to give these verses right here. If you can live these out, you're going to be doing real good. You ready? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love, verse 7, never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Did you read that? Never gives up, never loses faith, always hopeful, endures every circumstance. That's what love does. Folks, if you got in serious trouble, who should be there to help you? Family, right? Say, Pastor, that's not my situation. Well, I'm sorry, and that might be the case, but you can try to work to change that in the areas that you can control, right? Supporting one another is something that sounds easy, but sometimes, folks, you got to work at it. It calls for discipline, and sometimes it requires patience. Supporting one another does not mean you always agree with the choices that your children make or your family members make, but you still love one another anyway, amen? I said this in the first service, I'm going to say it again now, and I just stopped preaching and now I'm meddling, amen? So if you don't like what I'm saying, this isn't part of the sermon, this is a Buddy Thompson, right? Okay, I want you to make the distinction here. I do not understand families that don't support each other. I don't understand parents who reject their children because they don't like the choices that their children make. Oh, it's getting quiet. Maybe I'm meddling in a good area right now. Amen. You see, you don't have to agree with everything your kids do to still love them. Somebody who, I need a little help right now. Come on. Because here's what I want to say. I don't want to say this in love. If you walk away from your kids, who's going to be there when they're ready to come back to their senses? Who's going to be there to show them the way, amen? Love, what? It's patient. It's kind. It's not jealous. It's not. This is not meddling now. This is the word of God. It is not boastful. It is not proud. It is not rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. Doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Don't give up. Don't give up on Johnny and Susie. It never loses faith. It is always hopeful. And it endures through every circumstance. That's what love does. Support and commitment are such a huge part of building a strong family. And you know, guys, it kind of used to be ingrained in us, but really a lot has changed over the years as society has changed. We've become much less rural. We're more urban and we're more suburban. Think about it for an example. It used to be, when I was growing up anyway, I remember we bought groceries at the same store every week. Yeah. Amen. Now, you know what my routine is? First, I go to Aldi. I have to make myself say Aldi. I just want to say Aldi's. Amen. First, we go to Aldi, and then whatever we can't find at Aldi, then we hop on over to Publix, or if I'm feeling really rich, I'll go to Kroger. Amen. Or then I'll go to Food Lion. And you know, there's no loyalty, right? There's no brand name loyalty. There's no store loyalty. Growing up, I remember my dad used to buy cars from the same car salesman all the time. And we bought a lot of cars growing up. Sometimes entire families through multiple generations, they would attend the same schools, right? go to the same high school, go to the same colleges, stay in the same town their entire life. Folks, we live in a very different world now, right? Employers are not committed to their employees like they used to be. Employees, in turn, are not committed to their employer. Sometimes parents, they get married and they have kids, but they never grow up. And then they just continue to focus on themselves more than the needs of their children. Churchgoers are not as committed maybe to their local church as they used to be. That commitment and support thing, it's just not in us like it always used to be. But families matter, and strong families got to support and be committed to each other. Be there when the chips are down. I know it might sound silly to say support is a building block, but I think people assume support takes place in the family when often families just get what's left over. Right? Kids might get whatever you have left after work and after your personal hobbies, or your spouse might get whatever's left after friends and kids and the chores are done. But we got to have each other's backs and intentionally choose to support our families before my job, before my hobbies, even before my church. My family has got to be my number one priority, right? Again, that doesn't mean you have to agree with everything each other does, but we love each other regardless. And by the way, you can support each other in a lot of ways. You can support each other emotionally. How? By listening, by validating each other, by encouraging one another, by comforting one another, by keeping your word. You can support each other in practical ways. Helping with the chores, helping with homework, helping out financially. If you're a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, you can provide childcare, or you can make an effort to connect to the children regularly. Supporting each other means you show up. Show up for piano recitals and ball games and school graduations. Try to be there for the moments that matter. Another great way to support each other is having good communication. Strong families talk to each other a lot, right? And I'm just going to say, I'm going to say this in love. There's no excuse for not having communication with all the technology that we have now. Amen? There's so many ways we can communicate. Group text, family chats, FaceTime, good old-fashioned phone calls. Y'all remember that, where you actually use a phone and call people? Not just text them or video them or FaceTime. Actually, call somebody, right? I know I'm dating myself now. Family dinners. Good communication doesn't always have to be profound either. Doesn't have to be deep. Doesn't have to be meaningful. Just learn to listen. When you listen to another family member, you're communicating a very important message to them. I respect you. I hear you. I see you. I'm interested in you enough to listen. You know, in some homes, you know what communication is? Whatever dad says. Whatever mom says, right? Without input, without discussion, amen. But support one another. Here's another building block. Spending time together. Spending time together. I'm just giving you some practical stuff here today. If you want to have a strong family, you got to make time together a top priority. Again, I don't understand families that don't ever care about being with one another. I just don't get it, because time together is the lifeblood of having a good family, amen? And I know that for some of you, this sounds foreign to you, but I'm trying to get us back to some good old basics, right? Spend time together, right? At this stage of my life, I've gone through most of the cycles. There's still a few more left, thank you, Jesus, amen, of life. But I've been single, I've been married, a young married man, then married with children, and then married with grown children, and then married with married children, and now I'm married with children who have children of their own, right? Grandparent. I've experienced a lot of different things. I remember the days of coming home from work when Lauren and Lindsay, those are my daughters, by the way, if you don't know who they are, up on the front row. Shout out to my girls, amen. I'm a girl dad. Girl dads, how about a dad? Let me hear from the girl dads, yeah. All right. We are a rare, special breed. Hallelujah. But I remember coming home from work when they were little, and I would see little faces pressed against the window, waiting for me, jumping up and down, huh? And you talk about something that'll give you some energy after a 10-hour workday, getting out of your car all dirty from working all day long. And I used to do construction work, and I'd walk up, and I'd have my lunchbox in my hand, and man, they would be smiling and laughing and jumping, and it was so exciting. I remember that season well. spending time together. I remember, fast forward a few years later, I remember coming home and not knowing where they are. They're behind closed doors, sulking, brooding. I'm lucky if I got a grunt, amen, because teenage girls, there's no way a dad understands what emotional trauma they're going through in that moment, right? I remember that season as well. Thank God that season is over with, amen. Now I'm in a season where I get to enjoy grandkids. I love it when they come, and can I say it out loud? Sometimes I love it when they go home, amen. Amen. I'm in a season now where I love getting to have FaceTime calls before bedtime. I know it annoys them when I call. I don't care. That's part of my job description. Amen. Sometimes they answer. Usually they answer. But I just love it. A few minutes getting to say good night, love you, can Papa pray for you. Just these seasons, spending time together. And I think it's important. I'm going to give a shout out to my son-in-law. It won't surprise him now because I already said it in the first service. You got to work at spending time together. My son-in-law, Xavier, is in the booth. Wave your hand, Xavier, to everybody that doesn't know who I'm talking about. Xavier drives a truck. And with his particular truck, I think you call it long-haul trucking or whatever, but sometimes he'll be gone 2 or 3 days out of the week. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But on this particular week, he had to run a route to Florida. Saturday morning, that was yesterday. Feels like so long ago. Saturday morning, Mason had a soccer game. And Lindsay told me Xavier was driving back all night from Florida, and he drove straight to the soccer game in his rig. Still had his work clothes on, hadn't had anything to eat, hadn't had any sleep. Yeah. And you know what he did? He came walking across the parking lot. Let me tell you how I know it's authentic and real. Ava jumped up, took off running to give her dad a hug. Mason jumped off the bench, ran across the corner of the field, gave his dad a hug. Now, you might say, that's not a big deal. You ask Mason in 20 years if that's a big deal. You say, well, that's just an isolated incident. You know what it is? It's a building block. It's a block. It's a block. It's a block. And guess what you're doing? You're building a solid wall. You're building memories. You're building confidence. You're building kids that feel secure and safe. Spend time together. I mentioned the FaceTime calls that we have right now in this season with my granddaughter Ava. Every sentence begins with Pawpaw. Guess what? Every sentence, you know what? I love it. I love it. Paul, she's got the phone. Pawpaw, guess where I am? She's in her bedroom. I see her dresser right behind her. I see her bed. I don't know. Where are you? You know, and then she'll run around the house. Guess what? Guess where I'm at? Guess what my favorite color is? We've done this thing 1,000 times. Spend time. Spend time. Spend time. All right? How do you do it? Practical ways. I've already mentioned it. It doesn't have, by the way, spending time together doesn't have to be expensive. Doesn't have to be complicated, right? Playing old maid, playing Uno, building snowmen, making cookies. Doesn't cost a lot of money to make memories. It only costs time. You know, I have been a pastor, and by the way, this year will be 30 years of pastoring this church in September. Amen. Thank you. And it's a rare accomplishment these days for somebody to stay anywhere that long, amen? But I'm going to just be honest with you. As much as I love this church and all of you, my greatest memories in life are not going to be having thousands of people in this building on a Sunday. Amen. My greatest memories are not the moments over my lifetime. And I've been privileged to be with some powerful people. I've had lunch with governors. I've had time with senators. I've met with professional athletes. I had breakfast a few years ago, just a few tables over from the President of the United States. But my best memories are family vacations or time at the house with the Thompsons, Leeches, and the Coonies all together. A little TLC goes a long way in my house, amen? Vacation time, dinner time, Christmas time, amen? Spending time together is important, amen? I remember somebody suggested this one time when I was young, and so I tried it. And I've learned it doesn't work as well in the teenage years. But add an ice cream stop or a Slurpee run to the end of running an errand. See if you can bribe one of the kids to go with you. Amen. Mason has outgrown that now. I can't get him to run errands for a Slurpee. My girls would do it for a while. I will tell you, if you have teenagers, you are going to get some resistance. Get ready for that, right? One comedian said this about teenagers. He said, teenagers are God's revenge on mankind. He said, God said, let them see what it's like to create someone in their own image who denies their very existence. That's a teenager, right? The same comedian also said this. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says how old Satan was when he rejected God's authority. I'm pretty sure he was 15. Amen. Spend time together. All right, here's another building block. I got to hurry. Appreciate each other. Appreciate each other. We should all put on the mirror of our minds the words express appreciation and look at it as we begin every day. A building block that pays great dividends is a home of expressed appreciation. Expressed. They already know I appreciate it. Really? Say it. Show it. Do something to demonstrate it. Strong families give a lot of sincere compliments. They make each other feel good about themselves. They look for the good things to thank each other for. I think I've said this before in church. One of my favorite TV shows is Gold Rush. Any Gold Rush fans in the house? Yeah, it's not going to last long with that kind of support. I'm just going to tell you that. Do not let my show go away because you don't. No, and Robin would rather scrub the kitchen floor with a worn-out toothbrush than watch one episode of Gold Rush with me. But that's all right. But you know what I love about Gold Rush? They take multi-million-dollar huge machines, and they dig through millions and millions of yards of dirt to find little flakes of gold. And you know what I think I love about it? I wish that we as families would take the same approach and understand that when we're digging through yards and yards of junk and dirt, we're not looking for the dirt, we're looking for the gold. Come on, look for the gold in your wife. Look for the gold in your husband. Look for the gold in your kids. Is there dirt? Of course there's dirt. They're human beings. They're flawed, amen. They got to deal with you. There's going to be dirt. But we don't look for the dirt. We look for the gold. Amen? We got to focus on those things. Find things and express appreciation. Amen. Somebody says, well, they're just doing their job. What's wrong with thanking somebody out loud for doing their job? Thank you for cutting the grass. Thank you for cooking the food. Thank you for washing and folding my clothes. Thank you for working on your homework. Thank you for having a good attitude. Thank you for being nice to your sister. Thank you for picking up your smelly socks. Amen. Appreciation goes a long, long way. Praise team, come on up. By the way, as they're coming, here's what I want you to do. Just lean over and tell somebody next to you something you appreciate about them. Go ahead. Do it right now. I don't even know them. Well, tell them that you appreciate their nice hairdo or their pretty dress. Amen. Just tell somebody something you appreciate about while the praise team and the band comes on up. All right, now I'm going to give you my last building block for today. Are you ready? Here it is. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on. The greatest thing that you can do for your family is to make a commitment. We are going to serve Jesus together. Joshua 24:15 says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. By the way, you're going to serve something. Joshua says you got to make a choice. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? And I want you to read this last sentence with me out loud. Are you ready? Let's read it together. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Let's read it one more time. Read it out loud like you really mean it. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That means for as long as I have some say in the matter, as long as I can influence them, as long as I can do something, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Lindsay told me something funny right before I came up here to preach. And Mason loves coming to church, but I don't know what happened this morning. She said, Mason said, Mom, I don't want to go to church today. She said, well, what do you want to do? He said, I just want to stay home and wear shorts and relax. And so, you know what she said? I'm sorry, honey. We're going to church. I just laughed because I thought, how many times, we won't say it out loud, we just want to stay home and wear shorts and relax, right? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hear me, guys. More important than leaving them wealth or a trust fund or giving your kids a college education, help them build a spiritual legacy. Come on. Help them build a spiritual legacy. By the way, you don't owe them any of that other stuff. Can I just say that? You don't owe them wealth. You don't owe them a trust fund. You do not have to pay for your kids to go to college. That's another sermon. But it is your responsibility, if you know Jesus, to leave them a spiritual legacy. Whether they choose to embrace it or walk in it, that's on them. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A spiritually committed family looks at Christianity as a personal, practical, day-to-day way of living. This is not just a theoretical thing. This is not just some theological approach to life. As for me and my house families, that would make a good sermon series. They're committed to God. They're committed to His principles, love, kindness, tolerance, unity. And that commitment to God, it has to be seen and lived out in our homes. At home, that means being spiritually committed. It means having a climate of prayer and worship in your home. It means not being afraid to say, hey, we're going to be separated from this world. We don't do everything the world does. We don't act the way that the world acts. Amen. You teach your children to live Christ-honoring values, and it begins at home, and it's lived out at home. It means you're careful about your personal walk with God because your family will follow your lead, your example. Spiritual commitment, it's reflected in a relationship, not only with God, but also with His body, the church. If you want to raise a family that serves the Lord, you got to love the bride. Amen? Come on, that means we got to love each other. That also means we love the church. That means we don't just live on the receiving end all the time, but we also serve and we also give of our time, our talent, our treasure, and we demonstrate that to our children. And we teach them and we show them the way. So here's what I want to do as we close the service today. Stand with me if you will, if you're able to. Now, those four blocks that I gave, you might have, during the whole sermon, you might have went, check, 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 I'm doing good. But I guarantee you there's probably a few blocks that I didn't mention that you might have said, N.A., not applicable, or N.P. needs, or N.I. needs improvement, amen? And that's okay. That's what we want to do here today. Not here to condemn. I'm here to encourage and say, you know what? No matter how good it is, it can be better. How many of you know that's true, right? No matter how good your marriage is, it can be better. No matter how good your parenting skills are, they can be better. Or maybe you're in a place where you're going, man, Pastor, and I know I'm talking to somebody. As a matter of fact, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't mind, so we can be more comfortable. Some of you right now, you feel like, I have screwed up so much, there's no chance of fixing this. Somebody in this room or watching online, you feel that way. The devil is a liar. There is always new hope because today is a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Here's what the challenge is for you. Make whatever you have the best it can be. Let me say that again. Not whatever you wish it was, not whatever you thought it was going to be, not whatever your first marriage was. Make whatever you have right now the best it can be. So here's the deal. We can focus so much on the past that we forget I can live in my present and I can change my future. And that's what I want to challenge you to do here today. Say, starting this day, Lord, I'm just going to double down on my commitment in my marriage, or to my children, to my family, to my extended circle, whoever those people are. I want to do my part. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, as the team begins to sing, here's what I want to do. I want to open up this altar, and I want to invite you to step out from where you are and just say, God, I want you to help me. Here's what I know. It's a complicated thing raising a godly family in 2025. But also know that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, and he will give it to you. Amen. God will show you what to do. If you lack understanding, God, I don't know how I'm going to work through this. If you need some grace, if you're in a position where your kids are estranged from you, you know what? It's a complicated thing. It's not a quick fix, but you just start loving them back. You're responsible for you. You're not responsible for them, but you do all you need to do. Does that make sense? So as they sing, I want to invite you to step out from where you are. Every married couple, every family, whoever you are, every single one, just step out and say, we're going to make a commitment, God, right now, to build the things that matter. Amen. Come on, that's it. That's it. I'm going to do all I can do.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.